You all honor Vic and his family by your presence here today. They welcome you, and your presence is very much appreciated. I know when I lost my father, I was touched in a way I'd never been touched before by people just showing up and showing how much they appreciated my dad. And I know the family feels the same way as they see your presence here this morning. I'd like to recognize New Holland and their leadership. You guys deserve a lot of gratitude for your most gracious hospitality and help in this morning's service. Vic was the kind of man that almost all, maybe all, would like to emulate. And I'm fortunate to be able to call him my friend. I thought seriously of relating a few, or one, at least one thing that happened, but if we did that, if all of us did that, we'd never get away. But he was my friend. Understand clearly that Vic and his family, their real desire this morning is this day not be about Vic primarily, but that Jesus would truly be honored. While we understand the desire of Vic's not to be the center of attention on this day, do we not honor Jesus by remembering how Vic lived his life for his Savior? As we go through this service, let us worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and thank Him for men and women who, like Vic, inspire us to follow Jesus. Would you stand for a prayer? Lord Jesus, we are here before you this morning because we have lost someone who is deeply precious to all of us. He's been a friend to so many of us. He's been a lot of things to a lot of people. And this morning we are remembering him. We're remembering what he meant to us. We're remembering our own mortality this morning. You're reminding me this morning, Lord, that which is seen is temporary. And Father, I know with all my being that this morning, Vic is not concerned about the things that he accumulated here. Even the things that he did, he is deeply grateful for the time he spent considering and contemplating the unseen. May we follow his example this morning. May you be with each of us as we go through this day, difficult as it may be. May you be with us and help us to see your Son Jesus and all he's done for us as we remember our friend, our father, our husband, our grandfather. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according unto his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptation, that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In whom, having not seen ye love, in whom, though you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Victor doesn't need faith anymore. He has received the end of his faith. We need faith. Looking forward to that great inheritance, that spiritual and that heavenly inheritance. We're looking forward to that. But Victor has reached the goal. He's made it. But there's victory ahead for us, for all of us here. And speaking of inheritances, I've seen where earthly inheritances have divided families. It's destroyed relationships. Earthly inheritances, we can't take them with us, the possessions that we inherit. And it's not worth fighting over. But let's focus on our heavenly inheritance that God has prepared for us. It's reserved for each one of us. We're going to do a little bit of singing this morning. A few of the songs are in the books, but some of them are not. And I'd just like to start out with the first song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I think that's pretty familiar with all of you there. The last stanza there says, the part says, when my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song, through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Amen. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal winged its flight to realms of day, where thy song blew endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. The love of God is greater far. I think in the hymnary, that's song number 779, if those who can have a book there can look at it there. The love of God is a wonderful, wonderful song. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly throne and kingdom fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hill and mountain call, God's love so sure shall still endure, how measureless and strong. It shall between these first two verses and the last verse, there's something different here. There's probably about 1,000 years between these lyrics here. When this Frederick Laymon wrote the first part of this song, he was a very poor man. And this was about 1917, I think it was. And he wrote this song, he wrote these two verses, and it just didn't seem like it was complete. And somehow he heard about some lyrics or a poem that he had heard about that someone found on a prison wall in an insane asylum. A prisoner wrote this verse on the wall. And there were some painters coming in to paint the walls, and they saw this, so they wrote it down. And but before this verse was supposed to have been wrote by a poet from Germany in the 11th century, and the history says that it was read in the synagogue before the reading of the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments then come in and says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." He's a holy God. It's just very fitting. But the way God orchestrated this song, this last verse into the second song, how it was written that far away a long time ago and then come together. And this layman found this verse and it just fitted the rest of the song. It just made it complete. So let's sing. And also, to me, look at the difference in the language or the words of these here. It talks about talks about parchment, talks about a quill, talks about a scribe, it talks about a scroll. So that tells you kind of that it was written a long time ago, maybe in ancient times. So let's sing this last verse here. Could we with ink the ocean fill
and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Amen. What love the Father hath bestowed upon them that know him. We're going to try to sing How Great Thou Art, and I think that song is 771 in that same book there. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, can see the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my soul, my Savior glad to thee. How great thou art, great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take him. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation to take me home, what
joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Good morning. It is an honor to be here to celebrate the life of Victor today. It was about 15 years ago that my wife and I and our family moved to this community, and we began to learn to know Victor and Viola and the family. One thing that I'd learned that many times as you would give Vic a compliment, he would be likely to quote to you 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 tells us, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He would often say, I am what I am by the grace of God. That is something that I will always remember about Victor. You know, maybe you take credit for who you have become or what you have accomplished in your life. Maybe we sometimes feel pretty good about ourselves and what we've done. Maybe we've done well financially. Maybe we have status among our peers. Maybe you felt like you've done many good things that would possibly please God. But when you come to the end of your life and consider all the good deeds that you have done, do you think God will be impressed with those things? When you come to the end of your life and look at all your possessions, do you think that God will be impressed with that? A couple weeks ago, as I sat beside Vic's bed and had a conversation with him, our conversation went to life, to family, to work. And we talked about accumulating possessions, you know, chasing the dollar. Now, as I mentioned work to Vic, he told me, he said, David, make sure you pursue the important things in life. And as we talked, those important things, there were two that we talked about. Number one was God and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then number two was his family. He cared deeply about his family. Ephesians 2 verse 8 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but it is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift that God gives us. And the question I have for you this morning is, have you received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? This salvation that God offers us is not something that we can earn of our own merit. It is not something that we receive after we've done enough good things. Salvation is a gift. And have you received that gift? If Vic could ask us one question this morning, I believe he would ask us that. Have you received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and faith in him? that would be His heart for us today. My friends, unless you have experienced the grace of God in your life through faith in Jesus Christ, you will come to the end of your life and discover that you have nothing. Jesus is everything to us. Jesus is all we have when we face Him. When God calls us home, that is all we have. To the family, I would like to say, today we gather here to celebrate the life of Victor Overholt. Most of us knew him as Vic. Some knew him as great-grandpa. Some knew him as grandpa. Some knew him as dad. Viola, to you, Vic was your husband. He was a part of you, and today we acknowledge the pain that his death brings. To the family, I would like to acknowledge the pain that his death brings. We weep with you in sorrow. We laugh with you in your joy. But today we celebrate with you the gift that you were given. That we were all given in the life of Victor. And truly it was a gift to all of us. This gift touched all of our lives that are sitting here today. When the days are dark and the valleys seem deep, God will be there. You may not feel Him, you may not see Him, but He's there. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them," speaking of our enemies, "for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." If you forget everything else today, remember that verse. God will be with you. His grace will carry you when you have no strength to stand. We love you. We care for you. We will be here to encourage and to walk with you. God bless you. I'm sorry. Ethan and Wes will come up and share tributes at this time.
Thank you all for coming. This is humbling. Dad would be very happy. Got something I'd like to read here this morning. Dear Dad, I'm beyond grateful and blessed to have you as my father and my friend. You love Jesus, Mom, your family, music, and your beagle dogs, which, if I'm being honest, got on our nerves at times when they were with their loud barking. You passed on your love for nature, baseball, ice cream, and most of all, love for Jesus to us children. You instilled in us the importance of reading the Bible, prayer, and demonstrating that by your actions, and I'm so thankful for the many prayers you have prayed on our behalf. You loved life, and you did it so well, with such balance. With putting God first. Dad was a firm believer in giving. And he would often say, "You cannot outgive God." And he believed that with his whole heart. He would often read and quote scripture, verses on giving. And he was particularly fond of the verse, "He that gathered little had no lack, and he that gathered much had nothing left over." For some reason, this verse kind of annoyed me at times when he said it. You applied this same generous spirit in making sure people were giving the benefit of the doubt and was always quick to forgive and not hold grudges. Dad loved to uplift and encourage people. I'm not sure Dad would have really wanted to have these many nice things said about him here today, but if he were sitting here with us, he would give his head a little shake and might say the verse I remember him saying so often, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Another verse I can hear him saying is that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Dad, I can only hope and pray we can carry out the half of the legacy you left for us. You lived life well, and you loved us so well. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Wes, for that. That was, I probably can't say it as good as that. I didn't write my stuff out like that, but it's all right. I just want to say thank y'all for being here. This is an honor to have y'all here with us. And I think about all the kind things that people have done, the texts, the prayers, all the food. Y'all are the hands and feet of Jesus. So we want to say thank you on behalf of the family for all y'all have done. Y'all have been so good to us. A lot of things that have been said actually between David and Wes are the very things that I was going to say. Dad taught us to read the Bible. That was huge in Dad's life. He said, read the Word. And he proved it by example. He'd read the Bible over and over and over. Another thing, like Wesley taught us to give. The verse he quoted, that he would quote that. And others, along with that, Dad taught us how to give by example as well, not just by talking. One of the verses that he would quote a lot, and I'm sure this will bring memories to you, is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You know, like I said, David has already touched basically, he said a lot what I was going to say. But one thing I want us to do today is I want Jesus' name to be lifted up here today. He's the one that died on the cross and hung there and shed His blood for each one of you. I'd struggle at times with my assurance of salvation. I'd go to Dad. And he would say, "Son, the Lord's just trying to show you, you can't do it. You can't be good enough, people. You can live your life the best that you know how, as close as you can. Do the best you can for God, but God is going to have to still look at you through Jesus." Amen. And that was Dad's, that was his thing. That was his theme. Dad depended on Jesus and His blood for his salvation. So I guess I just, my desire is just to honor Dad. I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize how good a dad I have until he was gone. It's like you get 20/20 vision after he's gone. So I just want to say thank you, Dad, for all you taught me. I love you. May you rest in glory.
Those are quite some testimonies. And I'll tell you two boys that your dad was mighty proud of y'all. He's told me a lot of things about Ethan and Wesley. Particular, work done well, a lot of things. So I don't think there's any regrets. Let's sing in the sweet by and by, okay? There's a land that is fairer than they, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. What a sigh for the blessings of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we shall offer the tribute of praise for the glorious gift of his love and the blessing that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. There is coming a day. There is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, what a day.
shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. Then forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Okay, I think we'll sing two verses of Shall We Gather at the River, and then maybe a verse of another song. Victor, as all y'all know, Victor loved to sing, and so that's he requested a lot of singing. So, and there's something about singing that these hymns just draw you towards heaven, and it just, and singing is good for the soul. It's very good for a depressed mind, a depressed depression, and all, it just lifts you up. So let's sing, Shall We Gather at the River? Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shore of the river. Soon our pilgrim age we'll see. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. We're going to try a verse of Sweet View of the Land. I've reached the land of corn and wine. That song goes really good. And let's just imagine ourselves looking across the sea where mansions are prepared for me. I've reached the land of corn and wine, and all its riches freely mine. Here shines a dimmed one blissful day, for all my night has passed away. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, on the high
look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore.
We got to sing another verse. The zephyrs seem to float to me, sweet sounds of heaven's melody, as angels with white robed throng join in the sweet redemption song.
The zephyrs seem to float to me, sweet sounds of heaven's melody, as angels with the white robed throng join in the great redemption song. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on the highest rock I stand, I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared. Glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore.
That one made me cry.
Kind of tough to get started. Victor was my friend. He was married to my cousin. He was my family. He was my brother because of Jesus. Victor and I often had the conversations that we're doing here today. We often discussed this matter. Someday, one of us is going. We didn't know which one it would be. We are within 1 year of the same age. So that means there's that possibility. You know, when you get our age, it doesn't look so far away anymore as it did when I was 30. When I was 30, I didn't think about this more than I wanted to do some things. But now that I'm what I am, as said by the grace of God, we talked about this, but that talk is done now. It's over. It's real now. We're done here. What we're doing today is the real thing. This reminds us of eternity. It reminds us of what can happen to all of us. Boys, Ethan and Wes, your dad was quite a guy. We had a lot of conversations. Some of it was about you. I believe I would say, and I know you asked me not to say much, but I not want to do a lot of this, but I believe that one of the strong points of Victor was he wanted to be humble. He worked hard at it. He wanted to be careful, and he worked hard. And he would tell me about the fuss that he had with the boys. And he would say to me, Sam, I had to ask him to forgive me. And I know he did it often. And he would be in My services, many, many times I thought of, I sat here this morning thinking how many times that I have preached to this man. Many, many sermons he has had to endure because of me. And yet he wants me to do the last one. My friend, what does that say to you? I don't know. But I know that a couple of weeks ago I was in his presence and he said, Sam, I want you to preach my funeral sermon. I'm like, okay, I'll do my best. And I want to do that. Sometimes in my preaching, I would say something that he didn't like. And he would tell me as he was going out the door. That sound anything like Victor? I wouldn't get home and have lunch till I got a phone call. Sam, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I came prepared for this, so just relax. I'll be all right. There's a song that you didn't sing, David. You thought you covered them all, didn't you? Most of them. Many years ago, I can say that now. My wife used to say, when I was younger, I would say that, and she'd say, well, don't say that, because that's not true. It wasn't many years ago. But now it is. I can say that now. I'm not sure if it's good or bad. But a long time ago, I was sitting beside a bedside of a man that was dying. Pretty much the same as this. And he struggled, Ethan, with assurance. The man was on his deathbed. And he struggled with assurance. And I walked in there one day and he said... He's smiling and he said, you know what? I got it. What did you get? Fanny Crosby wrote the song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of his glory do I. Can we sing that? Can we? You want it messed up or do you want to sing it? You can. That's fine. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, sing it. Come on, sing it.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. That was wonderful. I know that that would be something that would bless his heart. Thank you for doing that. I want to speak to you this morning in a very familiar scripture out of one of my favorite books, the Bible. St. John chapter 11. And I know you already think, some of you are Bible scholars and you're thinking, I know what that is. You're right. It's the story of Lazarus. And it's a special story, and there are some things in there that I learned that I want to share with you this morning in the event of how that we struggle in the death process, and it's not easy to die. I remember Victor telling me about his mother, who was elderly and was not well, and he said to me, he said, "Mom just told me, she said, it's so hard to die." And I'm like, you know, sometimes it is true. We sat for 10 days with our daughter watching her die. It's young, middle-aged, and these are hard days. Folks, it's a difficult life, but you know what? There is redemption. There is a God that loves us and cares about us and provides for our needs and helps us in through these hard times. And this is exactly what this family has experienced, even though they have not felt it. They have not experienced it in the sense that they really feel that closeness to God. But God is here. God is here. He's with us and He cares about us and He provides for us our needs. If I would have told Victor how many people would be here at his funeral, he would have laughed at me. He would have said, "It's not true." But it is true. You're here. Why are you here? Because you loved the man. You cared about him. He loved you, and there was a relationship. There was friendship. There was this camaraderie that went on that you never even thought about. Until now you think about it. Now it's like, oh, yes. Now we think about it. John chapter 11 is the story of Lazarus. And I was going to read it, but I think I better, because I need to stay on track. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with anointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus. Isn't that interesting? Mary, this is the Mary that washed his feet. It's wiped his feet. Well, why did she wipe his feet? I think it was something about washing them. Well, she anointed him. That's what it was. She anointed his feet, and then she wiped that with her hair. Wow. Now, that's pretty personal there, but it's nice. It's a pretty neat way of going. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, said he to his disciples, "Let's go to Jerusalem again," or Judea again. His disciples said to him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you. Goest thou again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he would stumble, because there is no light in him. He can't see. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Okay. Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleeps, then he shall do well." In other words, if he's just asleep, that's no big deal. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." I hope you're catching some of these sayings in here. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary stayed in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." And that's the title of my message, "Lord, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't happen. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." And Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever loves and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And I'm going to stop there. There's other things I want to do yet here. I'm sorry about if I take my glasses on and off. There's simply a problem here this morning that I'm dealing with. And I don't bother you with that. Let me go back to the beginning of this chapter. The Mary that anointed the Lord, and it says she anointed him with ointment and wiped his feet. Now that's the Mary that earlier this had happened. And if I go over to verse 32, I read something else about Mary, and it says this: "When Mary was come where Jesus was," and by the way, he had not entered into the area yet where Lazarus was, so he was still a little ways away. "And Mary went out to meet him," and this is what she said. "When she saw him, she fell down to his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died.'" Now, I find it interesting that in both instances, she fell at his feet. There's something about that that just does something to me. People who sit by people who are dying is tough. It's hard. I've said that it's kind of like torture. Do you suppose Mary and Martha felt like that? Because you know what? And I heard this family say this often: "Where is God?" And I heard Victor say it. He said to me, "Sam, where is God?" I wondered as I read this, did Mary and Martha think that? Jesus, why aren't you here? I wish I could explain some of this to you, but I don't think I can. But I do know that Jesus took 2 days before he showed up. Now, I'm of the opinion that Mary and Martha were not very happy about this whole process, because this was somebody that they were very close to. This guy called Jesus was their friend. He was their like their family. And when there is hard times in our families, who shows up? We need to get there to help and to show support. And here is God himself is not showing up. And he waited for 2 days. Now, I'm not suggesting that this was happening in all of our families, and any of you who have ever gone through any of this type of process, that this is, but you probably felt that God wasn't there. But he was. Family, I want you to know that God was with you the whole time, all the way through. But when we are filled with grief and sorrow and hurt and pain, it's difficult to know where we are and if God is close. But he is. He's with you today. He was with you the whole process. every bit of the way. They said, in verse 16, they said, you know, it seems like there should be a better way than this. That's kind of how we think. We thought, too, that why did this man have to suffer? Well, the question that we could answer that by saying, and I heard that within this family that perhaps God gets more glory doing this, letting it go this way than any other way. And you know, if we had our way, we would choose things differently. My dad suffered tremendously, and he was a brother to the masts that are here. That's our connection. Our fathers were brothers. My dad suffered terribly. My grandpas, both of them, they're no suffering. They closed their eyes and they went, they're gone, just that quick. That's hopefully that we all want to do. We don't want to suffer, but we don't choose, do we? It's not our choice. And so we see that the question is, Lord, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. I'm not so sure. I think it would have. Martha said to Jesus, I know that God will give you what you ask for, and then come in the resurrection. And they begin to talk about the resurrection. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, is a scripture that I'm going to turn to, and I'm going to read it to you. I would like, because I think there's a double thought that goes on in some of this. And it was in here this morning. Nobody messed with my Bible, it should still be here. First Thessalonians 4, verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words. I'd like to turn to John 14 in my closing remark. Very beautiful scripture. I love this. I've used it. It's difficult when we use favorites, but I'll have to admit, this is one that I've used many, many times in settings of this nature, and I think it's the most beautiful of all things. And with us and our family, we have went through this twice. In our personal family, we've lost two children, and we've had to do this. And it's not fun, but it's okay. It's life. Someone made this statement to me one time, that dying is part of living. And I've learned to realize that it is true. And we don't choose those things, but they do come. And I believe there's something in John 14 that we need to notice. And it says, Jesus again was telling the disciples where there was a problem of him. He was telling them constantly, saying something about, I'm going to have to go. I need to leave. And they got frustrated with that. They didn't like that. They didn't want to hear it. Then he said this to them, in the 14th chapter. Now, this is right after the thing with Lazarus has happened. And he goes through some of the things that he did. And then he kept saying to them that he needs to go. And they didn't want to hear that. You know, it's like my wife doesn't like to hear it when I say that I might be next. If you're married, your wife probably don't want to hear that either. Or if your wife says that, you as a husband probably don't want to hear that. But my friend, you know, it's true. It this many people, one of us is going to be next. It's just life. It's the way it's going to be. And he was telling them, and they did not want to hear it. And so he was saying to them, and some people thought that he was talking about the experience at the cross and his death. Well, it was true. He had to go there. And he said to the disciples, and I'm going to repeat these words to you as a family, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? You believe in me. In my Father's place, there's rooms. The King James says mansion. Mansions are spectacular. They're huge. They offer lots of space. The body can't go there, but the spirit can, the soul. And so there's room. He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. Now listen, folks. Now hear me out. You don't have to agree with me, all right? You can leave here today, and if you want to tell me you didn't like it, you can. I'm not, don't carry no chips on that. I don't have a problem with telling you you don't agree with me. But I believe that Jesus, when he said, if I go, I'm coming back. I'm coming. Whether you believe anything else, I'm going to tell you people, that is a fact. He's coming. You know what? Now, this is where you might disagree. I believe he came for Victor the other day, the other morning. He doesn't go by 12-hour shifts. He doesn't go by whatever. He comes whenever he is ready to receive us to himself. Oh, I just can't tell you how beautiful I think that is, the fact that we don't have to worry about going alone in death. Someone will come and meet us. Family, you thought that Victor, your dad, your husband, your grandpa just died. No, he didn't just die. He left his body and he left it behind. We call it death. God would say he's sleeping. I don't know. I haven't been there yet. I wish I could tell you more. But I haven't been there. Oh, my friend, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Do you know him? Good question. Let's pray. Oh God, you're so good to us. You have provided for us every need that we have. You have been good to this family. They have hurt. They have sorrow. And it's okay. You said that we will have sorrow, and you said that we will have pain. Would you please continue to help this family just the way you have? You've been their strength. You've been their peace. You've been their life. And I want to ask you to help them through the next days of their journey. And I do this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can find the obituary inside your flyer. Mr. Victor H. Overholt, 81, husband of Viola Overholt, entered into rest March 30, 2023, at home after a short battle with cancer. Victor was born October 27, 1941, to Abner and Fanny Overholt in Princes Anne County, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Victor married Viola Mast on August 9, 1962. They have been married for 60 years. They have five children, Connie Swartz and her husband Dennis of Batesburg, Sandra Wangert and her husband Kenneth of Sally, Rebecca Zook and her husband James of Hillsville, Virginia, Ethan Overholt and his wife Charlotte of Wagner, and Wesley Overholt and his wife Patricia of Wagner. Victor is the grandfather of Austin Swartz and his wife Amy, Christy Linder and her husband Matt, Courtney Swartz, Chelsea Stacy Linder and her husband Matt, Chelsea Stacy and her husband Stephen, Destiny Musser and her husband Logan, Joshua Wangert, Jason Wangert, Blake Wangert, Caitlin Fisher and her husband Omar, Amanda Amstutz and her husband Avery, Jenna Zook, Madeline Zook, Mariah Zook, Lauren Zook, Morgan Yoder and her husband Benjamin, Matthew Overholt, Cody Overholt, Clay Overholt, Aaron Overholt, Sydney Overholt, Avery Overholt, Summer Overholt, Peyton Overholt, Parker Overholt, and Sawyer Overholt. He is a great-grandfather of Josie Lynn Stacy, Emma Musser, Elsie Musser, and Hadley Fisher. Victor is the oldest of 11 children. His brothers are Marcus Overholt and his wife Lois, and David Overholt and his wife Nancy. His sisters are Betty Beachy and her husband David, Carol Smooker and her husband Joe, Elsie Overholt, Catherine Eaton and her husband, the late Billy, Joanna Beachy and her husband, Joe, Lois Choyer and her husband, Melvin, Dorothy Yoder and her husband, David, and Violet Yoder and her husband, Lonnie. Victor is preceded in death by his parents and his granddaughter, Natalie Zook. Victor was a member of Dayspring Community Church. He was a faithful man who loved the Lord, his family, church, and community. A couple closing announcements I would like to make. If you wish to go to the graveside service, please wait outside the building. If you are not going to the graveside, you may make your way to the gym where there is a meal provided. If you're leaving the property going south, use the left entrance or exit. If you're going north, use the right exit, please. And also, if you have missed the register, it will be available over in the gym. You can sign the register over there. Let's stand for closing prayer. God, you are so good to us today, and we just stand in awe of your presence and your goodness that you have shown us. We thank you for your gift of salvation that each one of us can experience today. And we pray that for each and every person here. God, I pray that you would be with each one here. Be with the family especially. Give them strength. Give them courage. And help them to keep their eyes on you in the coming days, weeks, and months. We praise you and lift your name up. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated and remain seated as the ushers come and usher you out. Thank you. Thank you.